Hello and welcome back to Melina Kay's Book Club, and today we have a special guest, and our guest is an author of a new release book called Loving the Brothers. Hello Pam, how are you?
Hello there, thanks for having me Melina.
No worries, we are happy to have you. But before we start and get into the book, I just wanted to tell the listeners that you're an East Londoner.
Yes I am.
And you grew up in Canning Town and you've worked in criminal justice for over 30 years.
That's right.
Pam was also awarded a Lift Effort International Award for her services in the criminal justice sector. She also has been an asset in supporting female service users to make changes to their lives for the better, and is a senior probation officer.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And has also worked with victims of domestic abuse. In addition to all this, she actually has time to make cakes free time. Not make cakes and write books. How do you find the time?
Well, Loving the Brothers is a project that's been going for about 2 years. So in between that, I found a passion for making celebration cakes and cupcakes.
Oh, I see. Yeah, to go back to Loving the Brothers, has this obviously is your first book you've written. How did it come about? How did you put the pen and paper and thought, this is what I want to write?
Well, I'm now a woman of a certain age, and I think most women...
She doesn't look it.
have this on their wish list of things that they want to do.
Okay.
So I've always wanted to write a book, and I'm I read everything, so I'm a good reader as well. And one day I just decided, this is what I want to do. I want to write a book, and based it around my experiences of working in the criminal justice system. So that's how it came out.
Follows the life of three women.
That's right.
Who end up crossing paths because they are in basically partnered with these three brothers.
Morgan brothers.
Yes, the Morgan brothers. And I was thinking, what influenced you? Like you said, it was obviously your experience of what you were doing at work, but was it also in terms of your environment, what you grew up, because a lot of it is based in East London?
Yeah, I wanted it to be based in real places. And there are some characters in the book who are actually real people.
Really?
Yeah. So, and there's real restaurants. You see me reference straight away. Westfield Shopping Centre, X Factor. There are things that people can instantly relate to throughout the book. But the characters are actually fictional. So the three women and the three brothers and their families are all fictional people.
But you just used real life surroundings. And I think
I wanted it to be based here.
I personally like that because obviously I've grown up in Hackney, so I knew all the areas for saying Bow. I was like, oh yeah, I know that area, the roads. It was really nice. It's because it felt like for me personally, you can relate to the book. And that's why I personally believe it was brilliantly written. So in terms of getting this together, the way the plots and the story comes about is very individual. So the women are telling their own story.
That's right.
How did you get it to put together? Because it was like unraveling a present. Like you're trying to, you read one bit and you're opening and you're trying to see more and more. How did you do that?
I quite like the format where you based it on Patty, Charmaine, Rose, then Patty, Charmaine, Rose, and quite a lot of people have a favourite character. So they were tempted to fast forward just to read what happened to Charmaine next.
Oh, really?
But they stayed with it and they quite like the format because then each character develops the more you read read the story as well.
Exactly.
I wanted to demonstrate that domestic abuse happens in all relationships. It doesn't discriminate against your class, what job you do, whether you're working, whether there are children involved, whether you're in the church, whether you're a person of faith or not. It touches all everyone's lives. So I wanted to demonstrate different forms of domestic abuse as well.
That was actually my next question, because in the book you touch on a lot of topics in terms of education and family and culture, but obviously the most was domestic abuse, and there has been books out there that's been written on domestic abuse.
Yes.
But why did you think this was like a good format to write about it, to bring it into awareness?
Because a lot of these things can sometimes be hidden. And I don't know if you've noticed on the cover, the men's faces are distorted, they're abstract. Okay. And what you see is not necessarily what you get. Okay. And people tend not to delve any further to see what people's real characters are all about. So for some of the women, this has been a progression into domestic violence. For one of the characters, this is from day one, you know, to be in an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
It shows the importance of, I suppose, really being careful about who you with, not being dictated by others. So one of the characters, it's more as like a false marriage, wasn't it, that
yes.
she was put into.
Yeah.
She wasn't allowed to get to know him properly.
No.
And within, 6 months, she was married and, you know, and expecting her first child as well.
Yeah.
So it just felt like she was told to drop her ambitions and her dreams and her aspirations to focus on supporting her husband.
Yeah.
And I think of all three characters, people are feeding back to me that they related to this character the most. Either
really?
They had experienced it themselves, or they know families where the church is quite controlling over the relationship because they have a vested interest in making it work.
Yeah, that was very interesting to say. It's true because there was one of the characters, I felt it first started mentally, the abuse. It was more making it to feel that, you know, mentally they weren't good enough. And then after it developed to become now physical.
That's right.
Which in the beginning I was like, oh, but personally, Avril, I didn't get most of was off from one of the brothers. I didn't feel like I knew him properly, and that was the one that met Patty.
Marcus.
I didn't feel like I got to know him personally. I felt, does he have the same characteristics, and you know, has his brothers? But I didn't. But it made me think. And I don't know if that's what, obviously, your angle of wanting to get this book out there. It actually definitely made me think to say, why are these two brothers like this and he's not like that?
Yes, a lot of people are speculating over that. Is he as good as I've portrayed him in the book?
Yeah.
Is there a dark side to Marcus that we're going to see at some stage? And I think in a way that's quite sad. That we, when someone is a good man, that we just can't see them as a good man. We're always looking for something sinister to happen around the corner, or, you know, for him to suddenly fly off the handle and all that. He can just be a good egg, can't he? Can't he be, out of three brothers, can't he be the good one, the nice one?
There is good people out there, but everybody has a dark side, like they say. So, you know, everybody has a good and bad sides.
Well, you've read the book, so you've seen him fly off the handle. So if certain buttons are pressed, maybe not at his partner, but certainly you can tell that there is friction between him and his brother.
Very true.
You know, there was this thing about his brother accusing him of stealing his money.
Yeah.
So all of those kind of issues are bubbling under the surface. Marcus is he's entitled to be cross, angry, but he is not abusive of his partner.
Okay.
And I think that's in
the author has declared
well.
It. Yeah. She has declared it. I just also wanted to point out, I think with Marcus, it might be that in terms of trust, if there's a distrust, that becomes a problem. And leads me to how, obviously, the end, because for me, it personally didn't end. There's a cliffhanger, guys, from all this, there's a cliffhanger. And I'm looking forward to the next one.
Right.
And I feel maybe the way it ended as well, because it ended on Patty and how she said it, that might trigger something.
It doesn't end with Patty. It starts with Patty. So the last chapter that you read is actually the first chapter of the new book,
I see.
Which is called Loving the Sisters.
Okay.
So it follows the same format, Patty, Charmaine, mm-hmm. and Rose. So you're now, I've given you the first 500 words of Loving the Sisters to spark your interest. What's going on? Well, you know, what's happened? How did she leave Jamaica? How did that happen?
Yeah.
You know, what happened there? So it's asking people a lot of questions.
There is a lot of questions, and especially with the other two sisters, because obviously of what they had declared.
That's right.
When they were in Jamaica, it was just a bit. Okay, so what's happening now? What what is she doing? Like, what are they doing?
Well, Patty takes you right back, so you don't miss anything. There is no gap, you know, so it's not like six it's not like 6 months later or a year later.
Okay.
Patty, in that chapter, takes you right back to Jamaica and fills in the reader on what happened there and how everything went.
Oh, perfect. You said, obviously, you wanted it to come across as, obviously, as normal and original as possible.
Yes.
Because you use colloquial words. And in terms of that, because there's some words that are street words, yes. Did you consider that some people may not understand or know, like, certain words?
Well, yeah. I hope that you're referring to the bit where one of the older women says cheese on bread, for example.
Yeah, yeah. That's one.
Yeah. We call them Bajorisms, because that character is from Barbados.
Yeah.
So she uses quite a few of those throughout the book. And my answer is that, I mean, I studied O-level English language, and I studied A-level English literature,
mm-hmm.
and in particular I had to read works of Shakespeare, Chaucer, John Luther, and I didn't always understand what was being said.
It's true.
So to understand the English literature, I had to really, you know, delve even deeper and get summaries or ask questions and be part of seminars so that I could fully understand what was being said. So my answer is that I wanted to write this in my own narrative. I wanted to write my own truth, as Oprah has said recently. I've been using the term before Oprah, but I wanted it to be about me and about how culturally I say things, and how we as black women express ourselves as well. So I think if you're not certain what cheese on bread means, it doesn't actually mean cheese and bread. It's an exclamation as, oh my goodness.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that the reader can work it out, you know, what's being said. They don't get left behind. Yeah. And even Charmaine gets confused when a character speaks to her in Jamaica, who talks so fastly, she doesn't understand what's being... She asks him to repeat himself.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's only goes to show the difference between people of Caribbean descent versus those who are the real McCoy. When you travel on holiday, you think you're Barbadian, but yeah. when you go abroad, you actually meet real Barbadians. You might not necessarily understand everything that's being said, or you think you're Jamaican, or you grew up as a first generation British.
Yeah.
And when you travel, it's like a big difference. And it's demonstrate that. World. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely got that as well. I was like, oh, see, I'm not alone in this.
Good.
Also, in terms of, just to go back to your topic of the abuse, I feel that, is there a sense of sometimes how that the men are obviously blamed for, like, oh, yeah, you shouldn't hit, but is it more, do you think it's more personal deeply down? And to that derives to why they act out like that, or why they're like that?
I don't know. I mean, I've run groups, domestic violence groups, for a few years now. And it's very often what men experience when they're children. And for a lot of the people that I work with, that's where it stems from. And one of the questions we tend to ask quite earlier on is, when did you first experience violence or abuse when you were growing up? And, you know, those memories of those men stay, you know, they might have seen something at 3 years old that stays with them. You know, one particular man told me he still remembers at 3 years old traveling down the stairs in his mother's arms, where his father had hit his mother so hard. He flew down the stairs, and he still remembers it in slow motion and focusing on her face and remembering what her face looks like. Now, you would think that that would act as a deterrent. But when you have no other tools of how to manage how you might be feeling, some men act out in that way.
I see, yeah. Because when reading it, obviously I got upset, you know, seeing the men act out like that. But then also it made me think that, but it can't just be them being angry. It has to derive from something. So at that, sometimes it's hard to be sympathetic to... to the person that's actually acting out the violence.
Well, one thing I like about the domestic abuse program that I run, that it actually takes 9 months for you to complete the program. So this isn't an easy fix. This is unpicking the man's experience. This is challenging them in a safe environment because they have the insight into their own behavior, but may not have been able to have the opportunity to discuss it. And to so it, and that covers all aspects of domestic violence. We all know deep down domestic violence, you know, it's wrong. But that's normally the last expression of things that have been building up. So emotional abuse, financial abuse, sexual abuse. There's a lead up to it before the woman is actually struck. And research suggests that a woman would be assaulted at least 35 times before she even calls the police. So this is a build up of things.
And we do see that in Loving the Brothers, in the book, that obviously from seeing the family's point of view, like what the mum had said about one of his sons, what he had experienced.
That's
and
right.
Obviously him also coming to Britain and how he acted and all that, is a combination. It is like a path. But yeah, I really enjoyed reading the book. And I just obviously wanted to know what made you feel like, no, I want to write more, I want to add more to this and not just end it on the first one?
Well, I think I have been very much encouraged by the feedback that I've had from family and friends as well. So I mean, my phone just blew up when the book was published on the 8th of January. So lots of positive feedback as well. And people are encouraging me, actually, Pam, don't talk anymore. Let's end this call so that you can carry on writing. Loving the sisters, so that's encouraging. Even up till this morning, my son said to me, so, Mum, what's next? You know, after Loving the Sisters, is there going to be Loving the Children? Is there going to be, you know? And I don't see why not. I don't see, because you could, all these characters stand alone.
Yes.
So the lawyer,
yeah,
you know, she could go off into her own, you know, because a lot of people want to know more about Antoinette. I do have a few other projects in mind, and one of them is based around Antoinette, and you know that she's just adopted her son.
Yes.
So it'll be talking about the struggles around adoption and so on, and there's a few surprises in there that I would like to include.
Just a quick one about Antoinette. Is she also going to be quite a big part in the second part, because the way her last part in the book, it was a bit of she walked in and she walked out. We're like, why? Why is she leaving? What's going on? And then obviously has the other character explained their secret code. It made sense, but then it didn't make sense of how she knows. And is that
I think you need to read over the book again.
Yeah.
Because if you read over the book, and people are doing that, there are a few people who are reading it for the second time, you'll see that there is a connection between
Antoinette
and Charmaine.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't you recall who represented Junior?
Oh my God. Oh my gosh, the light bulb came on.
Right, so there's a little connection. There's a little connection there.
Oh, right.
And that code is actually real. My sisters and I do that because we're all professional women, and the world is so small. You might go somewhere and you end up seeing someone that you know professionally.
Yes.
And we try very hard to make sure that our professional lives and our personal lives don't clash.
Mm-hmm.
So I have actually been to, had a really tough time with one of my service users. He would not admit, I knew he was drink driving for years before he eventually got caught. And I think the following Friday, I went to a restaurant and he was the head chef there. And I just said to people, I was with, I can't stay. He was embarrassed. I was embarrassed. And it was best just to say, I've got to go.
Why was you embarrassed? That's interesting.
Well, I'm a very fussy eater, and I don't really want to eat food with, from someone who may be cross with me. And I end up being poisoned or something like that. So it was better that we developed a code. You know, we've been to carnival and seeing service users in the, you know, we don't. I don't want to be caught on the front page of the Daily Mail with one of my service users. So there are bits of me, you know, and as I said, I've built this around my experiences of working with victims and perpetrators of domestic violence and my service users.
I might just start using that code. That's actually quite good. Okay, it makes sense. But it was because when Charmaine explained it, her reaction to it, we never actually got a name of the woman or anything. She just explained she's some woman who thinks she's better. That's all right. That
with her poxy wig,
that's all we got, so it never really clicked. And I was thinking, maybe it's Charmaine, but maybe not, like, why would it be? But,
well, it's definitely not Rose. The connection is Charmaine and Antoinette. And in Love in the Sisters, Patty will ask for an explanation. What was that all about? You know, it came all the way to Jamaica. Who is it that you know? Yeah. And then it will come out then.
That is so interesting. And talking about Rose, as though she was calm, I did like the way you dealt about the how the church community goes about, and you know, the religion, but it was very not kind of demeaning or anything, very respectable. Have you experienced things in the church, or have you seen, are you a religious person?
I wouldn't say that I'm a religious person. I believe in God, and I grew up in the church. I was baptized at 16 years old. But during my church life, you witness a lot and you see a lot. And as a professional person, I have had service users who are supposed to be leaders who are on my books. And that's what I wanted to demonstrate, really, that domestic abuse happens in all faiths. My third book is out there somewhere. It's called The Karate Club. And that's about domestic abuse from an Asian perspective as well. For some of these women, the only place that they're not accompanied to is when they drop their children to the karate club. And then lots of things happen. You know, they're like superheroes, the women who run the club.
Oh my God.
So I just wanted to demonstrate it happens in all faith, but I also wanted to be respectful as well. So it's not about taking the mickey out of the church or being disrespectful. You will see Rose has fond memories of growing up in the church, you know, and I enjoy talking about that story, about the music and how inspirational things are. It's just her husband's not very nice.
Yeah, that's the sad part about it.
I've been invited to speak at churches about domestic abuse because there are people in congregations who are suffering.
That is amazing.
If God is love, you know, you're not supposed to be, you're supposed to be having the best of the relationships, not the worst.
I'm really glad to hear that. And because in, especially from, as obviously a black woman, in the black community, we don't tend to really talk about it as much, especially, you know, the abuse. We have been taught to keep it to ourselves, and that's, we're meant to be strong as women. We're not meant to be feeble. We're meant to hold the house.
That has to be one of my most hated comments. You know, you're a strong black woman.
Yeah.
You're strong. No, we're allowed to be emotional. We're allowed to be vulnerable. We're allowed to be angry, like any other woman. And we're allowed to ask for help. And if this book helps one woman understand her situation, then it would have been worth it.
I love that. And so tell us and our listeners where we can buy the book, where we can get this, Love in the Brothers. When is it released? When can we
get Well, Love in the Brothers it? Was released on the 8th of January, 2018. So it's available.
So it's already out.
It's out there. It's, you know, it's doing really well. You can purchase a copy via Amazon. I'm having a book launch tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the 18th of Feb. It's an oversubscribed event, so I can't even tell you where it's going to be because if 300 people turn up, I can't accommodate them. but I am thinking about having a book signing event in April. So perhaps if I let you know, Melina, you can let your listeners know, you know, when that's coming up.
Yes, course,
and I'm dreaming big dreams for myself. I'm hoping that 2018 means that I can work with other authors and go on tour with the book, a UK tour. I'm hoping that my book will be published overseas as well, especially in the Caribbean. It would be nice for my family and friends to be able to attend a book launch overseas. I'm also dreaming about, you know, perhaps having Love and the Brothers turned into a play or a film.
Oh,
so
amazing.
If there are any producers or directors out there listening in,
yes.
You know, I already have an idea of who I would like to play some of the characters as
you,
well.
You got to, yeah.
A film premiere, well, you know, why not? But ultimately, yeah. It's about reaching out to women who are in those situations to know that there is life after, you know, after being a victim of domestic abuse. Just reach out to someone and ask for help.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Pam.
And
when can we look forward to the next part?
It will not be 2 years.
Okay.
So I've more or less thought of the plot, and I'm halfway through the first chapter. So I'm aiming for October 2018. So perhaps I can come back in October.
Of course, we'd love to have you back. Please come back. Yes.
Fantastic.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming down. And that is Pam for you guys. Loving the Brothers, launch tomorrow, but unfortunately we can't attend. But you can get your copy on Amazon. So please do. And let us all know how it went, if you have bought it and you have read it. Yeah. So... next time, we'll talk to you. Bye.